Well, I'm very thankful for your presence today. It is so good to see you here and to be able to engage in a period of a study from God's Word. I want to go ahead and kind of give you a preview of what I want to accomplish in the next few lessons. And our lesson title today is going to be Care of All the Churches. And what I'm wanting to do is I want us to go back here into 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. I want us to think about the passage of Scripture that Paul references there, or that Paul wrote there on that particular occasion. And we're going to deal with that, some of the cares that Paul had about the church. And what I want us also to do is I want us to talk about how he is going to handle these cares, what he did when he was struggling with problems, or maybe when he was anxious about things. And then I want us to take a page out of his book and maybe sit down and apply what he taught us and what we learn about Paul, and then see how we can make sure that we are taking care of the church as well. So we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And of course, as we look at that particular passage of Scripture, we're going to find that prior to coming to a chapter 11, verse 28, the Apostle Paul discusses the challenges that he had already faced as an apostle. And you don't have to go very far back to find out that he begins to talk about all of the physical problems that he had faced, and how that he had been shipwrecked, and how that he had been exposed in the elements, and how that he had been beaten, and all of the different things that he had suffered as an apostle and as a servant of Jesus Christ. And we're brought face to face with that. But then he expressly notes the anxiety he felt over all the churches. And if you'll share it, come back with me to that passage. I want to share it with you. He says in verse 28, "And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." Now, other translations talk about, over all of these things, there is the care of all the churches that I feel. And so, what we understand is Paul's mind was constantly thinking about the welfare of the church. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to identify what his concerns were. What was it that he was anxious about? What was it that he cared about? And when he references this passage of Scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. What is he talking about? That's what I want us to pay attention to this morning. The first thing that we observe is that Paul cared about congregational health. He was concerned about a congregation's health. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 19 through 30, or through 29 through 30. And I want us to listen to what he has to say here. He says, "Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." So, what is Paul having to deal with here? You look at this and he says, "I'm afraid that when I come for a visit to your congregation, I'm not going to find you the way that you should be. I'm afraid that I'm going to find some real problems." And certainly an analysis of their previous behavior validated Paul's concern. Well, what were some of the things that these people in Corinth had been guilty of in the past? Well, first of all, we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. Paul says, "I have heard that there are divisions among you, and I believe it." And we've talked about that before, how that many of them wanted to be followers of Christ, and others said, "We're going to be followers of Paul," and others followers of Apollos, and others followers of Cephas. And Paul says, "Listen, that's not the way we're going to handle things in the Lord's church. We've got to be unified." So he recognized there were problems. He references this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 19 and 20, that there were problems with strife. There was problems with all of these things in the congregation. We go to chapter 3 and verse 3 of 1 Corinthians, and we find where that Paul speaks to their carnal nature. He says, "You know what? I should be feeding you milk, but I'm still having to, or feeding you meat, I'm still having to feed you milk because you're not ready for the meat. You people are still carnal. You're more concerned about the physical things than you are the spiritual things. And if we're not feeding ourselves with the proper nutrition, then we're going to be unhealthy. And Paul was concerned about that. He says, you're carnal. You're not spiritual. You're still babes. You should be growing. And so he was concerned about their growth and the congregation's health. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6, and here the Apostle Paul talks about other problems. He says, and now we've got a problem because brother is taking other brother to law or to court. Now what I want to suggest to you is this. You can't be a strong congregation and have these types of problems. You can't. You cannot be a strong congregation for the Lord if you've got divisions. If you're not spiritually mature, if we're more concerned about the car, if we're warring with one another. We can't have that. And that's what Paul is addressing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, we've got these real problems. There's quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, gossip, disorder. I'm not going to find you the way that I should find you as God's people. He was concerned. Now, I want us to get another example of this in 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want you to listen to what Paul has to say to this congregation. Now, sometimes Paul's anxiety and his concerns were unfounded. There was no reason for him to be anxious or concerned. And yet he still was about certain congregations. And here's one of those instances. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, he says, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. And when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly, and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brother, in all our distress and afflictions, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. Now you think about that. Paul says, I couldn't stand it. I was so concerned that because of our afflictions and our persecutions, you might be discouraged and that might cause you to lose your faith. You might be disheartened and that would be Satan's opportunity to pull you away from Christ. And I couldn't bear it, so we had to send Timothy so that I could find out how things were going with your congregation. And now I am so comforted to know that you are still steadfast in your faith. And Paul wanted them to know, for him, if they were faithful, it was a matter of joy, and if they were unfaithful, it was a matter of sorrow. It was heartbreaking if they were going to be lost for Paul. It was a matter of heartbreak or joy for him. He says, I can live now if I know that you're standing fast in the faith. Have you ever had a situation where you were afraid of what might could have happened or what might have happened? And you're thinking about this, and maybe you're waiting to hear news from somebody. You don't know what's going on, and there's this anxious moment, there's this anticipation, and you don't know what news is coming. You've heard that there may be some bad news, you don't know what's happening, and you're just sitting on the edge of your seat until finally that word comes and everything is okay. And I've heard people say this, I could finally breathe again. Yeah, I kind of get the sense that's the way the Apostle Paul felt. When he got word from Timothy that this congregation that he had labored with and had worked to help, it was still remaining faithful, he could finally breathe again. He loved those people, that congregation. And Paul was concerned about their health. And we need to be concerned about the church's health as well. Care for all those churches. Well, the second thing that we understand is this. Paul cared about their individual faithfulness. Individual faithfulness. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We started there and we dealt with verses 19 and 20. Now we're going to go back and pick up verse 21. Now listen to what he says here. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality that they have practiced. Now, what did he say he was afraid of? Paul said that he was afraid of what he was going to find. Well, what was he going to find? Potentially unrepentant offenders who would bring him to deep sorrow. They were guilty of uncleanness, fornication, lasciviousness, and many of them had remained in that and had not taken care of that sin. They had not repented of what it was that they were guilty of and maybe what they were still doing. And Paul says, I am so concerned about you Christians. Because you need to lead lives that will honor Jesus Christ. You need to be holy and you need to be pure and you need to put away the filth of the flesh. And I'm concerned about that. He says, it may be that when I show up, I'm going to be humbled. You see, Paul worked at all of these congregations and he was hoping that he had laid a good foundation. He was hoping that he had set a good example that they might build upon. And if he were going to come back to these congregations and find these folks given to lasciviousness and immorality, it was going to break his heart and he was going to be humbled. Sad. So he was concerned about the individual faithfulness of each of the members of that congregation. I think about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. In this passage of Scripture, Paul says, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they agree in the Lord. And he called upon the congregation there at Philippi to help these two women who have worked with me. They are co-workers in the kingdom. And yet, there was some disagreement, there was some problem that existed, and it threatened the congregation. And Paul says, we've got to get this straightened out. And not only did it threaten the congregation, it threatened their individual souls. We've got to take care of these issues. And so Paul mentions these two women by name. He calls them out specifically. Said, let's get this right. That's why I'm concerned. You know, I think about Philemon. And the little epistle to Philemon, as you know, Philemon had a slave named Onesimus. And apparently Onesimus had run away. He was a runaway slave. In the course of time, Philemon and Onesimus became members of the Lord's church. We don't know if this happened while Onesimus was there and he had a moment of weakness and left. But whatever we know is this. We know that they were both Christians, and we know that Onesimus had been serving the Apostle Paul. And so Paul writes an epistle, a letter to Philemon, to ask him to allow Onesimus to continue that work and to entreat him and receive him as a brother. And you notice what Paul says in verse 21? He says, being confident of your obedience, that you will do even more than what I've said. He was concerned about each individual and their obedience. And he recognized that Philemon would be obedient. He wants us all to be obedient to God. And so Paul was concerned not only about the congregation's health, those that he had worked with and labored with and helped to establish. He was concerned about each individual's faithfulness there in the congregation as well. Next, Paul cared about their doctrinal correctness. We go to Acts chapter 20, and we can begin in verse 30. We find where the Apostle Paul is meeting there with the elders of the Ephesian congregation. It says in verse 30 or 29, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted or perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What was he commending them to? To the word of grace. There were going to be folks that came into that congregation. They were going to be speaking perverse things, even among the eldership there. He said, I even know that even from among you, there are going to be people come in and speak perverse things and draw disciples away. Pull them away. It's important for us to make sure that we are following the word of truth as we should. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, I want us to notice verse 11 in Galatians chapter 4, because here Paul again speaks to the fear that he has for a congregation. He's afraid. Now, what's he afraid of here? Well, in verse 11 he says, "I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain." In other words, what is Paul saying there? I feel like I may have wasted my time. You ever felt that way before? Paul says, "I spent time in this area trying to bring you to Christ, and now if you have fallen away, my labor was in vain." That was wasted time if you're not going to accept it and follow it and turn to God. "I have labored there in vain." But why was he afraid? What was his concern? Well, let's go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, and then we'll also notice another passage there. We're going to look at Galatians 1, 6, and then 3, 1. He says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly removed from Him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." They were turning to a different gospel. Well, notice what he says in 3 and verse 1. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." So here he says, "You're being foolish. Somebody has bewitched you. They've cast a spell on you. They've turned you against Jesus. And I'm afraid that I've labored in vain." And so it was important for those people to make sure that they were following what Paul had taught them. I think about 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 6. When we think about doctrinal correctness, it's important to send this message. What does the Apostle Paul say to the young man Timothy there? He says, again, "The Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith." And he goes on to talk about some of the things that they would be guilty of. But I want you to notice verses 6 through 8, or verse 6 rather. "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." It's important for us to send a message of doctrinal correctness. Why? Because when we abandon doctrinal correctness, we abandon our identity. It is adherence to the doctrines that we find in the Bible that identify us as Christ's church. If we don't follow those doctrines, those teachings, if we don't pattern ourselves after that, we can't claim to be Christ's church. We've lost our identity. You know, I did some study, and did some study on government. Different types of governments, getting good definitions for the different types of governments that you may have or that you can live under. And of course, we consider our nation a democratic republic, and we look through the world and we have seen communistic governments and socialists. We say, I want to ask you a question. Has anybody ever heard of a democratic theocracy? Anybody heard of a democratic theocracy? What is a theocracy? A theocracy is a government that's built on a belief in a God, and it takes all of its cues from that being. The children of Israel existed under a theocracy. That's why when Samuel was disturbed that the children of Israel wanted a king, God said, "Well, they've not rejected you, Samuel, they've rejected me." It was a theocratic system. God was in charge. He was their king, or was supposed to be their king. A democracy is when the people make decisions for themselves. But you know what? I'm afraid that's what most people in the religious world want. They want a democratic theocracy. They want to acknowledge that there is a God and that I have a belief in this God, but I want to make my own decisions and I want us as the people to be able to rule our congregations and the church the way we want them ruled. You know, it was like what Danny was talking about today in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and what? Do not the things which I tell you to. We're talking about our identity. We can't claim to be part of Christ's kingdom and not be obedient to Christ's policies. This isn't a democratic theocracy. The church is a theocracy. And God is the head. He's in charge. He's the king. And so we don't get to do whatever it is that we want to do. We don't get to make all of the decisions. We don't get to make the rules for the church. God's already done that. But boy, we've got a lot of people that believe they can make the rules for God. That's why Paul was concerned about doctrinal correctness. Because you can't be part of God's kingdom if you don't obey God's will. There's a lot of things that we're going to have to continue with, but we're going to have to bring this lesson to a close. I'll finish the lesson this evening, and then we will conclude next Sunday morning with our applications and things of that. But we all should be concerned about the Lord's church, as Paul was concerned about it. He was anxious about it. We need to be concerned about our congregation's health. We need to be concerned about individual faithfulness. We need to be concerned about doctrinal correctness. And if it's the case that we're struggling in those issues in our life as Christian, then it's time for us to make those things right. And so this morning, if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become part of God's kingdom. We want you to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized to wash away those sins. These are God's words. This is what God wants. And if it's the case that you've not been living the way that you should as a Christian, and you want to now come and confess your sin, make it right with God, we're ready to assist you. We invite you to come now while together we stand and sing invitation.